This is the new home for Cheryl Fritz, 1320 WILS, the only Lansing radio station live in Lansing every morning, live in Lansing every afternoon. Welcome to Fritz and Friends with your host, Cheryl Fritz.
And welcome back to Fritz and Friends. I'm Cheryl Fritz along with Scott Eckersley coming to you on 1320 WILS and streaming live on 1320WILS.com. Joining me now on the phone, Dan Wormels, a partner at Wormels and Comstock PLLC. Did I get that right, Dan?
You did.
Can't forget any of the initials involved. I'm wondering, it's 6:09 on tax day. How does an accountant feel at 6:09 on tax day, Dan?
Relieved.
Well, that was
our last return out the door was a couple minutes before 5, so everything's either done, gone, or extended. So,
so the work for this evening, at least for a little bit, is done.
Yes, that's correct.
Wow. You wonder, full disclosure, your firm takes care of me and has for many, many years and quite well, I must say. But the changes in the tax laws, you and I had just a little bit to talk earlier today, have added to the challenges in your business this year, haven't they?
Yes, they have. Congress passed that tax act in December, which then kind of delayed the IRS for finishing certain forms that they needed to do because of the changes. So a lot of the returns that we could file in January and early February were actually delayed till mid-February. And then, as I mentioned it before, too, they've given some of the large brokerages houses until March 15th rather than January 31st to send out the 1099 forms. So for us accountants, it's kind of compacted busy season, as we'd say.
Well, yeah, so as you, when you and I did have a few minutes to speak earlier, you talked about the fact that you sit around looking at each other for a bit, and all of a sudden it all hits.
Yes, it is, actually. A lot of the partnerships returns, you had to wait till mid-February to file, and if you itemized deductions as an individual, you couldn't file until February 14th this year. So people tend to wait until they get all their information and bring it in, and so we just had the information getting them later, which means they bring them in later, and unfortunately, they didn't do the, well, I guess we got an extra 3 days, but they didn't extend the due date, so it just compacts the work for us. So.
Well, when you said people tend to wait until their information comes in, do accountants want us to bring it all in en masse when we get all of it, or do you want us to bring it in as it comes to us?
Yeah, we don't want it piecemeal necessarily,
okay.
But usually you get most of the information, and then that's probably the time to bring it in. And if you're missing a 1099 or a K-1 or something like that, we'd rather have the information so that when you get that final piece, your return's pretty well done. We just add the piece and then can finalize your return. If you bring it all in at that time, it just starts the whole process. And, so we don't want totally incomplete information, but if you're just missing one or two small pieces of information, it's probably better to bring it in. So,
well, look, see, there's something that we know. My person there will appreciate me doing that next year, I'm guessing.
That's correct. Yes, she will.
Anne will appreciate that very much, I'm thinking. What are some of the biggest mistakes that people make in general in that you see in your business?
Well, there's a lot of, especially this year with conversions to Roth and things, one of the biggest things that we have to watch out for now are these 1099-R forms. And it's not the people that are, retired and receiving them every year. It's the people that are taking them from either non-deductible IRAs to Roths and deductible IRAs. And the coding on those returns are just terrible. And, actually, it's just real easy to make a mistake with that and not get that correct. We had a couple people that just brought their returns in with their 1099 so we could input them correctly for them. And it's just something you really have to watch closely because, we don't get the information necessarily if you're doing non-deductibles. So it's kind of relying on the taxpayer to inform everything rather than giving them forms. So it's just something to watch very carefully for any of those rollovers or anything like this. So that if you're doing your own return or if you're having a prepared do it, at least the right information is inputted. So.
Well, and as you alluded to the changes a little bit earlier when we were talking, there are constantly changes being made in the tax law that have to be kept up with.
Yes. Yeah, the simplification has not been something in the more recent past. It's just getting more and more complicated. So.
The simplifying process is more difficult.
That's right. By simplifying, they add more rules, which obviously makes it more difficult. So.
Okay, we need to work on that then for next year. Has e-filing made life easier for accounting firms?
Yes, it certainly does, because you know it's we're then aware if foreign things get filed or not, and you know if there's a problem in the return, you get a rejection, which you can then solve the problem and usually take care of them. So actually, at this point in time, we've probably filed very few returns paper. Some of them, there's certain things within returns just that make it do it that way, and then occasionally there's a problem that crops up. But it certainly helps the whole process, yes.
And it is comforting to get that email that says it was successfully filed.
Yes.
That is helpful. From old movies and TV shows, we used to see the folks walk in with a box or a shoebox full of papers and receipts. Does that person still exist?
They sure do.
Really? Really?
More than we'd like to have, but yes. Some people are very organized in their data, and some people aren't. And, you know, not everybody's accountant, so, you know, they bring it in the way that works for them, and, you know, we make it work for them, so...
So literally, when somebody comes in with their box of receipts, at least it's all in one place. You folks sit down with them, or sit down and go through it all and put it in order, and then go from there.
That's correct.
Wow!
It's obviously quicker and less expensive if you organize it better. But there are a few of those people that just don't want to do that, so we still do them that way also. So.
Well, very good. Well, you know, kind of like we're starting fresh again now. It's time to work on next year. What are some of the things we can do to help our accountants in the process?
Well, part of it is keeping track of things, and a lot of times what I encourage people to do if something pops up during the middle of the year, just don't wait till the end of the year. Send us an email or give us a call, and we can try and answer the questions or. And get those things kind of behind you, because obviously right now it's almost a year from now when people are obviously filing their returns, and the ability to remember some of those. And the other thing is to have at least some sort of a filing system that works for everybody. If they at least put the information in one place so that it's there, that it reminds them at the end of the year, it's a lot easier to take care of the situations that way too. So
sure, and then all you have to do is remember where that folder is.
That's true. That's the hard part.
I think my accountant there, Ann Hodgins, got the biggest kick one year when I brought a folder in it, and the folder was labeled "Things I Don't Understand."
was mostly your return, right?
Exactly. I collect it all. It comes in. If it says important tax document, it goes in that file, and then it comes in. It's not a shoebox, but I guess it's kind of close, Dan.
Well, but that's a lot easier process because we know where all that information goes, and that's well coded on the forms if it's for brokerage statements and 1099s and things. So,
well, very good. Do you get to take kind of relax this evening then, and then you start up with all of the extension work and so forth?
Well, usually there's a fair amount of lull after because once you extend now, the individual returns aren't due until October 15th. So. Usually it's we get a little bit more than a short breather, and I'm actually going on vacation on Wednesday, so I'm going to get refreshed and be back next week and start working again. So.
Well, very good. Dan, thank you for your time this evening as always, and good tax season under our belts, it sounds like, and we'll work harder to be organized for next year.
That's right. We're now celebrating the accountant's New Year's Eve, so it's the start of the year for us tomorrow. So.
Very good. Well, Happy New Year to you.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you so much, Dan. Mm-hmm. Dan Wormel's a partner at Wormels & Comstock PLLC in East Lansing. And just a note, the reason that the tax deadline was delayed for three days was because at midnight Monday, because the District of Columbia observed Emancipation Day on Friday. And by law, local holidays in the nation's capital affect the tax deadlines the same way federal holidays would. And states generally follow the federal deadline. So Emancipation Day was the reason for that. And it marks the occasion when President Abraham Lincoln signed the law ending slavery in the District of Columbia. He signed it April 16th, more than 8 months before he signed the proclamation. So April 16th this year fell on a Saturday. So the holiday was observed on Friday. And that is why the deadline was tonight. We'll be back with more Fritz and Friends on 1320 WILS after this.